Gemara says in Brachos Chavtes in the days, Omer Abaya, the Olam, Ishtatet Rish Nashi Ha'itzibur. The Olam, not a certain kufa, not a certain time of one's life, a certain day of the year, of the Olam. Once Ishtatet, the Sibur, the Klal Yisrael. Gemara says in Brachos Chavtes in the days, Omer Abaya, the Olam, Ishtatet Rish Nashi Ha'itzibur. The Olam, not a certain kufa, not a certain time of one's life, a certain day of the year, of the Olam. Once we started the Sibur, the Klal Yisrael, the Olam. This the Olam to be a Yisod of the Ahavta Rach Kamocha. It's called Yishami Kamocha Mamish. Called is Kamocha Mamish. They being the Yotzeit, Gemu'ir, and the Mashgiach Zachon Vrocha, Rav Yaakov Moshe Lessi. We always quote the Ramban, Nevesh Chaya, Yipach B'Yapach, Yishmas Chayim. If we have a Ruach Memara, that every human being is created as Selim Elkim, and it comes from one market. One market. The whole Bria Kula. It's good Bechad, it's not Nishama, we come from one Nishama, one Makar. Therefore, we have a lot of Mocha. It's all part of you. Nishama's example of a person that is hammering away and he slips his right hand and hurts his left hand. Does the left hand give the right hand a patch? The whole group is in Tsar. It's one goof. That's not a melitza. It's not a homiletic phrase. Ishtate v'ish nashi b'adi sabur. So Rashi says, Yispara t'chilik sor b'loshin yachin, b'loshin rabi. Shemitok kach t'gilos t'fos and nishmas. It's not shmakolini, refraini, galini, Galeinu, Refraeinu, Shmakaleinu. Mishpati, with the Tzibur, Ayri Tila. It's not enough. Your Shmakaleinu, the Mutzach Asri Tila, that makes Mishpati the Tzibur. Tila's our voice of the land. It's not only when we're diving. We have to feel for the Tzibur all the time. We have to feel for the Tzibur for Klal Yisrael. But then, of course, it's not for years. How do you have this Hakash Aleinu? The Nusach says Shmak Aleinu, but the heart has to say Shmak Aleinu. How do you feel this? How do you feel this for every year? And especially when we have to acknowledge this, realize this, we're cold. Our Yeshivas are cold. The tragedy, a couple of weeks ago, the father got hit, it doesn't make a difference. The man died, killed in an accident in Eretz Yisrael, the Pinchas, with the Yomar Raj Mishpacha, and part of his brother, Mishpacha was also killed. He told us to a buffer, I'm sorry to hear it. What else? How'd the Yankees do? I'm sorry to hear it. The boss! Where's the Mechiyos? Where's the Mechiyos? I asked the Rav, I'm a Koy, I'm not aware of this. Chalamoy, you can give a Hesped? Chodesh Nisan, you can give a Hespeda? The 8 days of Hanukkah, you can give a Hesped? Says, what's wrong with you? It's appreciation. There's no Bechias in Hespedim. There's no crying, there's no emotions. We don't have any emotions today. Let's go over it. The description of the person. A righteous man, a kind man, a good man, a loving man. What's wrong with that? That's not a true Yontif. What's wrong heaven will do it. The mind is there, but what's the heart? But you die for my Shiva, so with a vehicle. With a vehicle. Yet, all of started Ish Nashi by Tibur. And the only way that the Shmak Aleinu, the Reforeinu, that Semach Dor Abdecho, can only be felt if we have the heart to it. Hagashis Halev. You have to work on the Hagashis Halev. Hagashis Halev. And the Sefer Yeshayahu tells us how so important this is. Referring to the yochid, referring to every individual. In Perkei Tes he quotes a tongue of Yov. It tells us, Kochokam Yisroel Sheish Bo, Yivar Torah L'Amito, and we wanted to learn Torah L'Amito. We hear Baruch Hashem, we're trying our utmost to understand Torah L'Amito. Emes of Pshat. Here's the Emes of Pshat. There's Pshat and there's Emes. And there's Emes of Pshat. There's Dargis. We're going for the Emes of Pshat. If you want to understand Emes of Pshat, Mesaneach al Kvodish al Kodesh Baruch, we should feel more than sorrow. Al Kodesh Baruch is Shchita B'Gelusa. Al Kvodish al Yisrael Kol Yom. Kol Yom. That's part of the Shal Torah. That's part of Sugya. That's part of the Rashbar Yisrael. That's Torah's all about. It's not something. It's a subject. Come on, we're learning this tongue of Yov. It's a heart, it's a hagash, it's a lave. It's all part of witness, the stock of rice of our alma. It's all part of the stock of rice of our alma before the world was created. Mesav and Matzah, the Chloe Yisharayim, Chloe Yisharayim, the Yeshua Titzma Bekor, Nicholas Begulius, Zorcha Leruch HaKadosh, the Yerizorch at the High Darga. He says, Sark she started tamid sar mamish al golas al chorbit. Constantly tamid. Tamid is not certain days of the year. It's tamid that certain days of the year should be the chazik us for the rest of the days of the year. It's tamid. She zed gorm yib kaviyach al chorbit zbor. Shit to be gorus. The schiller. The profane schiller. And not only the mosque and the harabayas. Not only there is it, a chilu, but how we act and how we talk and how we live Yiddishkeit is a chilu. Yisade the gula, yishabar ye ili v'chor shmo yisbar. Yisade for the gula, yisade neitzel v'chor yishalayim, yisbar tomei na gulas. All the time, the mirror, if man will say, to whom are you talking to? To what group of Jews are you talking to? To whom is he talking? To a certain group of Jews, a certain sect of Jews, yes? A certain sect. That's who the Torah of Yom is talking to. In Yom HaAdam, Mi Ani Yomor Ani Sofrim. She's spelled out God's Yishlai. Me? You're talking to me? I should have spelled. And it makes you a see. If this is our goal, with this. Is this my Yeshua? Will Yeshua come because of my dove, my darling, my Yisrael David Amiko, my Yeshua Amiko, through my killing? Through my Mimamakim, Kostuch Hashem! Through my Mimamakim! Me, the Chavetz Chaim is Mimamakim! Through my Mimamakim! Shivasa Bitsido. As it says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, now this Gemara we know. L'ficha nivro hodin yichidi. Today she collects a yoma, Bishvili Nivroilam. That Gemara we know, Bishvili Nivroilam. But what does it mean, Bishvili Nivroilam? Does it mean Gaida? My Yitzhak of David Abdecho, and my Yishalai Mircho, and my Amiris of Tillim, of every word of the Tillim of David Amelech, by Nachas Ruachu, the son of his boy. That's Nachas Ruach. That's Nachas Ruach. It shows you're going on the right path. To the mush of a child, a two-year-old child, the sitter is upside down and he suckles and says a few words. And the parents have so much nachas. You become parents and grandparents, you also have this nachas. Gevaldik! It's gevaldik! You're on the right derech. This is the derech. You get older, you throw the sitter up the right side, and you know no more words. You let the sitter perish, and you listen to the words. You know the force of the words. And your heart, it shows your heart. You're directing your heart at the age of two. Not your mind, but your heart. Your heart is the right direction. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. It's nachas ruach l'ponai. Like a reach nechayach, like a korban, like a noilo, a reach nechayach l'ponai. And this is nachas ruach. Even though she born a vachshim is palmazeh, the actual say also bakashasa. When they say gias man, amazing how she is. But there's no going yet. But it's not a struggle for now. This is a tadu that Kosh Baruch Hu wants from us. A crop, a heart, a feeling, a sigh. A feeling. Look, it's cold, it's cold, we're cold. On both sides, we're cold. We're like a gusher. And most of all, we don't even realize we're like a gusher. This is a chassar. No oiras. What's happening here is his soul. Everyone says, simonim l'utza. It's simonim. What's happening twice is there's simonim. We respond. Through our tefillahs, through our tefillin. This is how we start them in Klal Yisrael. This is what we're all about. Our heart, not our minds. Prove it to me. Show me logically that my tefillahs will help in Klal Yisrael. That my tefillahs will help and there'll be no killings in Eretz Yisrael. Show me logically how our davening today will help what's happening throughout the world. Show me halacha, Ace of Sonius Yaakov, the halacha mitzias. The Rapayim says if a yid goes into a community and he wants out alive, he goes in and goes out, he should understand they must have been sleeping today. It must have been lazy today. It's a halacha, it's a mitzvah, it's a davar. But Kosh Baruch Hu wants from us the nachas ruach, to be bakesh, to show avos Yisrael, to show feeling hagashas halev. And for this kibbutz, is the matzah that's for every single day, for every tefillah. Every tefillah, the davening should be longer. It should be more with hagashas halev. And sedach b'vid avdecha. A few tears. The Gemara says, at the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, Shari Tfilah, Ninalu, it comes up. Over Shari Tzaka, the tears, still there? Still there! Not the crocodile tears, the Emissa tears, and that closed! That can be closed! The logical tfilahs, that's closed! Over the heart, that's not closed! The specific today is the mechazikas for all our tzilus of every day. Our bias gold tzedek, we should be zayk, and we will be zayk with our tzilus and our bakashas and our sincerity, our finemis for Klal Yisrael, every yid in Klal Yisrael. We love yidin, every Jew, no discrimination, no discrimination, all yidin. And this day and all the days should be chazik us in our Avodas Hashem to be able to zayecha to that day, to sepisa Yeshua, to see the bias HaMashiach b'mher of Yemin.
I don't like those. Huh?
You don't like those kinds of prints, right?
Okay, so give me something you didn't like.
I'll just follow you. I have to leave at 2 o'clock, though.
I was a very young man, and I shall never forget the scene. It was the Shabbos before the first Yom HaTzmaut, 1949. My father's shul then was one of the largest synagogues in the Bronx and probably in the city. And on that Shabbos they were going to celebrate the oncoming of the first anniversary of the Akomas HaMedina. And it was the two sedras, the same two sedras we'll be reading this Shabbos. This was the Shabbos before Yom HaTzmaut. And the Shabbos immediately after HaTzmaut was not for most of those years. I remember the tremendous enthusiasm that filled the synagogue. The synagogue could hold 1,200 seats. Every seat was taken, every Shabbos was taken. But every aisleway was crowded. The doors were opened into the lobby. And downstairs, there must have been 2,000-3,000 people downstairs with black around. So about 5,000 people were here. Those days, of course, in Shabbos, you don't have a microphone anyway. But he had a very powerful, boomy voice. And I was a very young man. I was a teenager. And I never forgot this drasha. And it haunts me now more than ever. My father's Zecher Tzadik L'Vorcha began. Isho Kisazriya. The Yoga Zohar. Isha is the Imor Tzion. And we have been privileged to live to see that she gave birth to a Zohar. And what does it mean to give birth to a Zohar? You all know the Tisus, or you should know the Tisus. In Kuftes Zayin Ipsachim. And Tisus says, Anomah Leponecha Shira Kadosha. And then it says, Yesh Gatsinan Venode Lecha Shir Kadosh. And Tisus asks, why does it say Shira Kadosha? And then it says Shir Kadosh. And Tisus answers that all the other gulos, until the final gula, is v'lashon nekeva, is v'lashon shira, because there's always tzar, there's pain, and even anguish after the birth. And then there'll be another birth. It's not the final birth. And again, the mother will have to suffer. But the Ula lost his lavo. Tisus says, and he brings it back filter, is not the Kaver. It is Zohar. that there's no tsar, it's the last gula. And indeed we say it in the, I'm sure that you say it as well as I do, because I do say it. In the Maravas, in the Achron Shel Pesach. Pesach Kedusha, Notva, Valizos, Etar Shira Hazos. Pesach Mitzrayim. The Gula before, its holiness set in, but the word is Notva, Notva is Nikeva. Enjoy Valizos. But it is only a Tashira Azot. It's the Kevor. And the next part of my Rava says, Pesach Gever Yisove. It should be a male, a man, a Gever, a Gavra will be surrounding him. The Yukdosh. Shirul Hashem Shir Chodosh. Pesach lost it. Isha ki sazriya v'yol gazocha, after thousands of years he spoke in Yiddish at that time. And finally v'yol gazocha, and as long as he lived it still seemed that way. We were ascending. And today, if we had to say Tehillim on Yom HaTzvos, to say Tehillim the way we said it today, and to hear the Bechi of Rav Reichman Zolzayin Gesund, which echoed the feeling we've had for the last years, as we seem to retreat step by step, not really from a piece of land, but from a dream of Ishar. And why is this? In 1938, there was the famous or infamous Peel Commission, headed by Lord Peel, to try to adjudicate the conflict between the Jews and the Palestinians. They weren't called Palestinians, they were Arabs. And Ben Gurion, who was head of the Vad Lumi, the predecessor ultimately of the Knesset, appeared before this commission. And Lord Peel said, Mr. Ben-Gurion, what is your claim to the land? And luckily, near at hand, there was a Bible on the table. And Ben-Gurion picked up the Bible, he says, this is our claim. So Lord Peel said, but Mr. Ben-Gurion, I understand that you do not necessarily believe in the Bible. And Ben-Gurion says, it's not important whether I believe in the Bible. It's important whether you believe in the Bible. It was a good riposte. Many people thought Ben-Gurion really answered the question. But we have come to rue that philosophy. It is important if we believe in Torah. Otherwise, we see what is happening. Isha ki sazriya v'yol gazochar. Rachmaneslan, the Zohar Rachmaneslan is having an operation or something. Something's happened. Rachmaneslan. I'm going to read to you a pasuk I read when I first came to me in 1993 when we set out on this path that has brought us to where we are now. I was in California. It was several days before the handshake. I was moved to the quick. I was a scholar residence then in the largest Orthodox congregation in Los Angeles. And I read to them these psukim, and I will read to you the psukim. And I'll make no comment. It's Yeshaya Chof Ches, Pasuk Yudalit, and the following psukim. Lochein Shimu Dvar Hashem Anche Lotzon. Therefore, listen to the word of Hashem, you stoppers, you clowns, to use a modern description. Mosle Omazer Shev Yishalayim. Rashi says Mosle means one who creates ballads, a balladeer, from the word Mashal. The Mitzvah says Mosle, Fedem Shalom, you leaders of the people. Hashem Yerushalayim, who are in Yerushalayim. Ki alartem, who you have said, korastu vris es moves vim shol. We shall make a peace with death and with shol. Shol means the pit in the netherworld. Do you know what the Targum Yonatan ben Uzziel, the Targum Yerushalmi says right on the side? What is shol? Areya Martin, Gzarno, you have said we will make peace, Kayom, Bavris, Im Ketola with death. Vim Chavlo, 2,000 years ago. We didn't know what it meant. That we will make a peace with death, Im Chavlo. Shot Shotesh Kiavar, Lo Yuvaini, the scourge will pass me by, it won't come to me. Kisamnu chazav machsenu uvashekin istanu, because as our shelter we have taken deceit and we've hidden in a lie. And what is the difference between chazav and sheker? Chazav you don't see right away, sheker you do see. So we hid, we saw something, we didn't want to understand it. But la'akris hayomim, that cause of turns to sheker. And then he adds, v'chupar, in Pasuk Yud Ches, brischem es moves, v'chazuschem es shol lo sakru. Shol chote, yavor, v'yisem lo lemirmas. He said that in the end, the covenant with death. And again, the Unkelus says, the Targum says, V'chazuschem, V'shameichon, he said, V'chazuschem is in your peace, Dim Mechavlo, with the Mechavlo both, Lo Yiskayon. And the scourge will hit us, you Rachman Elitzlot. He said to Hill today, the Mir Tashem, very quickly, miraculously, at that Isha, Tisazria, of 53 years ago, will have proven indubitably the Yolda Zohar.
We have different type of mitzvahs that we are obligated to do. Some of them are very pleasant, like on Shabbos we have Shalosh Shudos and we sing Liris, and on Purim we read the Megillah, and we dress up and we give Shalach Manos and we klap Haman. And we have some unpleasant mitzvahs, and sometimes we have some extremely unpleasant mitzvahs. The story is told of the Satmar Rebbe who passed away, the previous Satmar Rebbe, that he used to go visit Eretz Yisrael every several years. It usually was right before an election, and he would encourage all of his followers not to participate chas v'shalom in the elections. It's such a big avera, and there were always signs around put up by the Aguda, signed by all the Bad Matzis Gdolei Torah of the Aguda, all of the Rabbanim, that it's a mitzvah to vote for the Aguda. So they tell the story that he once visited the Ger Rebbe on one of these occasions, and he told him that, "I saw the Kol Kori, I saw the sign hanging up with your name on the bottom, that it's a mitzvah to vote for the Aguda. It's really a mitzvah. What kind of a mitzvah is making fun? It's a mitzvah like eating matzah." So they say that the Ger Rebbe responded, "Not exactly like eating matzah, it's a mitzvah like eating maror." He wasn't so happy either about participating in the elections for a secular government, an anti-religious government in many different areas, but he said it still is a mitzvah. We have mitzvahs that are more bitter than eating maror as well. One of those bitter mitzvahs is the Mochemes mitzvah. The Talmud discusses two different types of wars. There's the concept of Mochemes mitzvah, and there's the concept of Mochemes Arishus. So the Gemara says in the end of Saita discussion, what's considered a Mochemes mitzvah, what's considered a Mochemes Arishus. So the situation now in Eretz Yisrael is one of Mochemes mitzvah. When the Jews have a Jewish government controlling Eretz Yisrael, and it's being threatened, so the din requires that all of the Jewish people have to go to war. Rahmanul Islam, we have no choice. Even if theoretically one would be able to make peace and give away the whole Medina and have all the Jews leave Eretz Yisrael, even if that were an option, which it probably is not, there's nothing to discuss, but still the Gemara says, that's a mitzvah to go to war. If you think in advance that you're going to win, it's no mitzvah to fight a losing war, but if you think that you're going to win, if the likelihood is that you're going to win, that you're obligated to go to war, even though you know in advance that you're going to lose a lot of Jewish lives, that's the halacha. It's a bitter mitzvah. You have to go to wage war, and this requirement to go to war is not only chal on those who happen to be citizens of Medinas Yisrael. The halacha doesn't recognize such a thing as citizenship. It makes a difference whether the person is a citizen of the United States or of Great Britain or Eretz Yisrael. The halacha says all the Jews are mechuyev to go to war. Waging the war doesn't necessarily have to be via shooting rifles and by going in airplanes and going in tanks. You can wage the war in many different ways. We have to see to it that we help. All of the Jews all over the world have the obligation to help, to participate in this war, to support Medinas Yisrael by money, by visiting, by touring, by sending our children to learn in Eretz Yisrael. Those who can live in Eretz Yisrael certainly should live in Eretz Yisrael. The Ra doesn't disappear by itself. There's a lot of evil in this world, and the evil doesn't disappear. That's exactly what the Torah gave us at Mitzvah Mechias HaMolech to teach us. We shouldn't just rely on the Rabbanu Shalom that the Ra is going to disappear. Sometimes we are required to fight against evil and to wage war against it. So that's exactly the nature of the situation now in Eretz Yisrael. And this is the only way there will be peace in Eretz Yisrael. When the Nevi'im were commanding Bnei Yisrael that they should build the second Beis HaMikdash, so they used the expression, "Neshati Shalom Ba'Mokam Azeh," and the Mefarshim explained that Shalom is the description of the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech was chalashing to build the Beis HaMikdash, but the Navi told him that Dam Rab Shafachto, he was a warrior, he killed a lot of people, he killed the terrorists, he did a mitzvah in killing them, but still the Beis HaMikdash has to be a Mokam Shalom. And he's not the man, he's not the Ish Sholom. So the Navi told him he's going to have a son whose name will be Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech will be an Ish Sholom. And he is roy to build the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Mokam Sholom. We shouldn't delude ourselves to think that by making more peace agreements with the neighbors in Eretz Yisrael, this will be a method of bringing about Sholom. The Tanakh calls the Beis HaMikdash Sholom. The only way to have a Beis HaMikdash is to follow the program that the Gemara derives from the Pesukim in Chumash, and the Rambam quotes it in the Yarech HaZok, and the Rambam quotes it in Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Sholosh Mitzvahs, the Tavi Yisrael, Bechnisosim La'aretz. Bnei Yisrael became obligated to fulfill the following three mitzvahs in the correct order. First, to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, Lahamid Lahamelech. Next, Lahachri Zara Shalom Molech, to fight against evil. There's a lot of evil going on. And then the third is Livnas Lahem Beis Abchir. And that Beis Abchir, that's what the Tanakh, that's what the Nevi'im referred to as Sholom. This is Nishkin Shalom. Just to have peace without a Beis HaMikdash, that's not called Shalom. The Torah gave us, it's an unpleasant mitzvah. A lot of unpleasant mitzvahs. We're not so happy. Not all the mitzvahs are like eating matzah. Not all the mitzvahs are like clapping hummer. We have a lot of mitzvahs that we're obligated to do. So this is one of the mitzvahs, namely the mitzvah, Mochemes mitzvah. That we all have an obligation to help out. Now, one of the ways to help out is Hashem Yishmochama, Hashem Shmo, the Rebbeinu Shalom is an Yishmochama. Rebbeinu Shalom is the one who fears on all of the Mochamas. So we have to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should be Matzliach B'Yodeinu. In the Muhammad we were just discussing earlier that we have an obligation to heal the sick. How can I heal the sick? If I'm a doctor, I can prescribe medication. How can I heal the sick? So the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva was not a doctor. So when he visited one of his thousands of students who was not well, he noticed that one of the Talmidim was out of the Beis Medrash from the many thousands of students that he had. So he went to the dormitory and he saw that he was sick in bed. So the Gemara says in the dorm that he washed his pajamas and he changed his sheet. He didn't prescribe any medication, he didn't have a medical degree, and he cleaned up the dorm room and the patient got better. So the Gemara says the definition of the mitzvah bikur cholim is to help heal the patient. So the Ramban comments on that Gemara, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, the Ramban quotes in the end of Yerideya, that if one doesn't do the maximum that he has the ability to do to heal the patient, he's not yet to the mitzvah of bikur cholim. What is the maximum you can do? What can you possibly do? So the Ramban shows in the Gemara, you have to offer a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rofei Kol Basar Mafli Lasos. The Rambam writes the same is true regarding the bringing of Mashiach Tzidkenu. We all have an obligation to help hasten the coming of Mashiach. How can I hasten the coming of Mashiach? What do I control? Mashiach? Do I have the ability to call up Mashiach and tell him to come? So the Rambam writes in the Geras, you have the obligation to offer the prayer in the Shemana Esses, Tzemach Tovet Avduch HaMehiras HaTmiach. The Baruch Shalom controls the situation. We have an obligation to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day, three times a day. He should hasten the coming of Mashiach. The same is true regarding this Mochemes Mitzvah. We all have an obligation, even those of us who are not citizens of Medinas Yisrael. I don't think the Halacha distinguishes. All of Klal Yisrael has an obligation to participate in this Mochemes Mitzvah. Those who can participate physically, by money, by support, whatever, have to participate. And those who can only participate by davening have to participate by davening. The Tehillim and the Tefillah in the Shemona Esrei, we should add on a Tefillah every day in the Shemona Esrei. We add on for our personal tzarochim. When someone is sick, we add on. When we need parnasa, when we're concerned about finals, when a person is concerned about a shidduch, whatever, whenever there's a problem, the person adds on Tefillahs. So now we have to all add on Tefillahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect this Klal Yisrael. He should give us the success in this Muhammad to bring real Shalom in Eretz Yisrael, namely Shalom being the Beis Hamikdash.
Had come to America for 10 days. I had a lot of work to do for Eretz Yisrael. A lot of work. I was working hard, and my wife and I had a very good trip to finish. We actually got a family of two sick and out of Russia, but I pushed the right button. I got hold of Bramson, so the mitzvah vodka being sold by Bramson, the SS family was let out. Even Archbold had its needed position in what silent revolution you read about as yours truly, but above all about my wife, who powered me, inspired me. So anyway, coming back here, I was in America. The last I told my colleague was Danny Rappenberg at the dinner. He was driving to the airport, but I'm going to Shir in the morning. I want to see the mother. And I walked into the Shir. It was a very traumatic experience. This was 1983 already, the rub with iron ears. You know, one who the rubber is trying, it was heartbreaking to see, but it's a musa, we have to be humble. Never, never be arrogant. We have to be humble. After she, I came over to Rebbe and was gracious with him. Oh, I didn't realize he couldn't walk without being held up. And the Rebbe said, Rebbe, you're going to need to hold him up on his right side. Went back to the room with him, his mind was good. One of the questions he asked Rebbe, Rabbi, I see in Hamboda Kamelach your clothing twice, which is very intriguing. What? Twice? Four times, the Rabbi said. Four times. Go back to Israel. You got to know your students. Had one student go and look through the whole Hamboda Kamelach to find the third or fourth time, maybe the Rabbi's mind, you know, at that point, 1983, he's 80 years old and not in good health. But I had one student, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Klausman, student manager, interesting individual, a world of knowledge, and the Talmud of the Rav, but the clouds, I can play with him. Say, Klaus, I got a job. The Rav told me he was called for. I train too. I give him what I can. Do me a favor. By next week, just get me the other two. Comes back a week later. Rebbe, you're looking for two more. Here they are. Four times. I'm now publishing tradition, looking for the tradition article. The Rav indulged in variant reading, cited by Rebbe Nachum Krapovsky four times. Lo and behold, a review appears of the Soloveitchik articles and books that have come out between that time, including the Sharab, including the tradition, in a publication of Bar Ilan called BBD, Bechol Derechecha, BBD, Bechol Derechecha De'ehu, quoting from Mishlei, no God in whatever you do. And there's an article by Shlomo Pick from the Bar Ilan Kollel, and he rips the heck out of Rakhetin Amarit Boor, right on your face, doesn't know what God is saying. The Rav is quoted six times in Avodah Kamelim. And lo and behold, he was right. I want to tell you, the Rav made a second mistake in his own biography. The first mistake I spoke about last Wednesday night, it's not too late for the lecture here, but this is the second time the Rav made a mistake. All right, if you look into the book, it's all correct. The only thing I was not nice. I should have thanked Rabbi Shlomo Pick, but by the time I put in the two extra times, the book was in print, I was in Israel, the publisher was in Hoboken, New Jersey. Every correction I made, he made five errors, and one for five. So the person Pick's name would have meant another five major errors. So I apologize to Rabbi Shlomo Pick, but I blame it. If you look at the first edition, the first printing of the Rav, there is a depiction volume 2 where the caption is correct. Everything was corrected. Aaron, depend upon me, I took care of it. When the publisher tells you, depend upon me, that's the time to rent for cover. In the second printing, Baruch Hashem, there was one mistake in volume 1. I made a correction in Yichus chart, in Yichus diagram, and they corrected it, and they took out the word married. It turns out that the Chaim's daughter was living in sin with the Chaim's family over the fall of the Russian. You know, not the Clinton and Monica were dealing with it. Not the year 2001. You don't even swear. God, I was overwhelmed. Took out. So anyone that asked me to sign a book, I look right away to the Yichus chart, and if it's missing, I write in that. That's the only mistake of any consequence. The other father person wants to be your perfectionist. Now, so what do we see from this? I'll tell you another story. One time, someone meets the Rebbe before Shiva, and through the days when he traveled from Israel to America, to Israel, before you left, you made a farewell party, and when you came back, you made a kiddush and gave a long talk of what you saw in the Holy Land. Today, you will know, we go back and forth, it's quicker to go to Israel than to go to the main couple. So, someone gives the book to Rebbe, but I'm too young yet to appreciate what he gave to us. He gave the Rebbe the following postcard by Rebbe Frank and Melech Kotler. Professor Orbach, I later learned to speak from him, and was able to try to pick up. This man is a giant that he is Jewish. This man is from German origins. He knew all the Chasseri postcard by heart. Overwhelming. And he put together what comes out. One volume was gave to the Rav. Later, it was two volumes. I have the one volume with the two volume. I gave the one volume edition to my brother Leibig. The two volume edition I have, the later one. The man recreated the history of the Balei Tosfot from the Tosfot, from the Rishon. This is Chachmas Yisrael at its finest. And I saw those. Rav held that book. Then I remember he left the room, and he left the book on the table. I saw the book, you remember this? I picked up the book. I ran across to his mother's apartment, I gave it to Rebbe Tempeshes, I used to call it for Rebbe Tempeshes. I said, your son left it in class. About a half hour later, the Rebbe came into the basement, and he was pale, a nervous wreck. I said, Rebbe, before you called, you answered. I paraphrased the Aleinu. I said, the book is already precious, speak by your mother. Oh, he was relaxed. But I saw from that incident that Derek Kerritzin had the professor. That I saw quite clearly. Derek Kerritzin had the professor. So I would say, as much as I can gather, because I didn't have the guts, I didn't have the knowledge to raise the rub this again at the Grand Commander telephone or take the yard and study with our affairs, how little we get to the Murray and the Sefer Drop at the Dalit, the name of Dalit, the Baba Ba'ahava, where when the Rab died, and they didn't know the laws of Zim, Birchat HaMazon, they had the greatest Rebbe in the world, it was the Dolin Israel, Tanayim Amarayim Kadosha Yayom, and even that they didn't know how they would clear a second time, only once for us. Hold it out, but you understand what I'm saying, when we had the Rab, he didn't know enough to ask his Rebbe. Were you in the Chacham Israel? Well, was it a passing fancy? Was it a fluid of you? I would say that the Rebbe dabbled in it, but it was a passing fancy. The Rebbe basic commitment was the Torah, the Brisker, the method, the relational method. He was not very fond of the scientific method. He saw what the results were. He once told a story which I write about on Chef writes a new book, I write a mine. It's a classic story that he repeated many times when he's sitting out there, I think it's a grip and then he's grip or something. But then he ended up showing me the There's no such thing. If you go there, the poems will come in yourself. In Jewish, the dead sheriffs, so he has to go, we have to be Matam, so he has to go to Mikvah. What's the big deal? So he shows it to the Rav, you see, after a different tradition. So the Rav says, well, tell me, Professor Mikvah, what do you think of this and this God? And you know, Charles, the bottom of the world, if you were there, Professor Avis, about Professor Orbach could be a whole in the tent. I'm simplifying. And if you were there, Orbach, about Avis, there would be a hole in the tent, where we understand that we live in tents. But okay. So he said, he asked Nietzsche about this scholar. Living was shaking, he was living with rage. I'm already a boor, in here and shake. A dummy, he doesn't know an olive from a bed. He ought to be a butcher. He's not a professor. And when Nietzsche finished ranting and raving, the Rav said, what do you think at the time of the Rambam, the Rambam and Rambam? This manuscript was written by Nietzsche Ravis, by a boor. And then when the Rav told over the story, he would say, those people who talk about Israel, they have no problem. It's always varying traditions, multiple traditions, from a halakhic tradition, another halakhic tradition, a semi-halakhic tradition, a tripartite tradition. So I cannot say the Rav is that pro as talk about Israel, although it's obvious that someone like Orbach, he had their inheritance, because that was talk about Israel in a very quiet form. It built up, it didn't let down. It was positive, it did not begin. However, in Berlin, and here we come to the heart of the issue, here he is exposed to Torah in their hands. Here he is exposed to the beauty of German Orthodoxy. And here, let me quote from the review of the White House, who is Lithuanian, who came to Germany as well and wound up staying, Rav Shel Apala Lumov, I can paraphrase Eichhorn, but he wound up staying. He wound up staying. And he has a famous tribute that he has to try and put now in the topic was, but he describes German history. And what the three other writers said, when it comes to education, don't rest for this new rabbi. They described to women, he said his quote. He said, he complained that the women went to university, she left the issue. In Germany, there are women who are professors, doctors, lawyers, and they were their sisters. And he gave tremendous credit to that. And the rabbi's excitement. The rabbi came from the world where the minute he stepped into modernity, the chances were practically hopeless that he lost the commitment to the Baha Hashem in Halakhah. I don't have to tell you, the Polish world, the Hasidic world, the Jewish world, reclaimed some of his own Talmidim, the famous mathematical professor, Abraham Gaon. And you would walk in and in Germany and you'd find him in a doctor and you'd say, Professor Stroman, what are you learning about when you don't believe in it? And he would say, I can't do myself the right. I can't do myself the right. That's the famous story. Once there's Professor Stroman, who knew Einstein very well, associate of Einstein, who is the greater ethical individual, Einstein or a scientist? And he answered, if I paraphrase it, the fingernail of your client was bigger than all of our Einstein is considered an ineffable person, an ineffable knowledge person. So, you understand that it's not a truth from it. The minute you went into the big world, you left, you ran away, you closed the door. And in Germany, the club is very impressed. Many, many. Aided by Western people. People who felt like Aiden Nipka, dean of a graduate student at the University of Berlin, and you have this amazing description, and here let me tell you something funny. I was privileged to uncover a tape, it's a whole story where we got there, and then we were going with a driver in a car, and we were going to Jedensburg, and the other one was down to someone had a tape of the talk the Rev gave in 1970. Someone else had a reel of the talk the Rev gave in 1956, at the 1 year paper. The 56 talk is nearest to the 70 talk in English, of course, by then being a year that shifted the rub. If you don't really read it, you read about it on Jew versus Jew, but my description, my book, or my description on my tapes that I cut into Chris Kohler is more accurate than Jew versus Jew. I was sitting there, I was an eyewitness. And Friedman's version is not as accurate, but the ending stuff was the same. Torah in America was destroyed. We switched to English, and we went into a cliché. I'm a cliché, my community a cliché, a different generation, a different world. Well, we're trying to help them, we're doing the best we can, but we have to be honest, because the rough switched into English, that was a sad thing. I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, but I'm still saying it half seriously. It might have been better, but Benny Greer was the catalyst. So he came to the Rebbe and said, Rebbe, I just finished Princeton, and I want to learn Torah, and you're holding back Torah from American boys. And I didn't know that the Rebbe did that again. The Rebbe would smack his face, but the Rebbe was father from Maria. And the Rebbe said, what are you talking about? He said, Rebbe, I don't understand Yiddish. I don't understand Yiddish. Tomorrow the shir will be in English. And I will ask you, rest of the shir, I'm going to give you a bechino. And that was Tuesday. Wednesday, the shir is in English. And after the shir, Bibi Lotron sitting right there, Bibi Lotron is going to know the word of everything. I'm ready for the bechino. Leave me alone, I'm too tired already. You understood? Good, I'll continue in English. And that was it. That was the end of Torah in America. In 1 second, it disappeared. So, the rub, the scrums, of these two talks, one in English, one in English, German complex. See, I consider this the most important section. All that I published in the 600 pages of the 2 volumes, I consider this the most important section of the future. Where he is different from that here. But I'll tell you what's amazing. Professor Engelbrecht, the highest Polish teacher, had a Hadassah mitzvah from Yerushalayim in the early years. He's married to Rabbi Forman of the Torah, where he carried Rabbi Menachem Forman of the Torah. And I asked him, are you related to Professor Engelbrecht? Because he's my great uncle. Do you know what Rabbi Forman did with your uncle? She said, yes, I gave her a tape of the Yiddish that the Rebbe talks about. The Rebbe is sensing what he thinks of this Columbia University, where you go with the yarmulke today. This was Berlin. And you can infer from that the Rebbe and some other great Rebbe didn't walk around with yarmulkes at the University of Berlin. Neither did Nachum Leibovitch. Thank you, Mr. Rebbe. But you can infer, but all right, Professor Aiken, this is a good time in. On tissue, like the Rebbe describes, we're a few in fear. And in the Yiddish it says shtechshik. What's amazing is, so many years later, he speaks English, the shtechshik became sneaky. You understand? What is shtechshik? It's shtech, you force it put in, like a house shoe that's open. You force it put in. So the American kids of 1970 go and say shtechshik, they wouldn't know what he was talking about. So he said sneakers, what we wear on t-shirt, what we wear on paper. The Rebbe said sneakers. But we wanted to speak. But here is the heart of the difference. This is my own thought. I may be right in the what the children of royalty is beneath him is Torah in the territory. If you take the in, it means integration. The love for me, Torah the territory. Torah in my life. Very good. And I'll explain the difference the way it works. You see, you have to use the term in case of the Dhamma description of that piece. And I want to tell you, I studied German in college. I had 2 years of German entrance in the wards. Professor Rosenberg, who was more as his best student. Why? I wanted to be Rabbinish. I had a Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Weiss, a French Archbishop's great-granddaughter, the daughter of Dr. Rachel Mother. And he got me started in Rav Hirsch. I can still say over Rav Hirsch's Torah that I heard from Rav Weiss. So I wanted to use Rav Hirsch. I started, I broke my dream to use the same Venedig for Bakhtin, to use the same German beer circle, and recreate the theme. By the time I finished, I wrote down those words, courses, and wrote with Rafa, Hirsch started appearing in English. I waited 2 years. So the Yazama
serious. He had a consistent foot. To the boys and girls in his practice, he had seven schools, but near each other. There's a lot of good sense to this. My children went to Urban 12. Grandchildren went to Urban 2 today. Boys are here, girls are here. It's a big campus, but they need each other. In other words, they should learn how to speak to each other. It's not a minor problem. It's not a minor problem. I don't like it. It's not a dyslexia. But how can we raise them and pay them to boys and girls separate, and yet they should be able to relate to each other? I'll advise you to go back to the Shidduch system, the greatest thing in the world. Girls get together, each other for generations, either boy, the other girl, and believe me, the percentage-wise, it worked out a lot happier than what goes on today. And I speak it from authority because I suffer. I've taught over 11,000 students. I know what I'm saying. But anyway, we're not going to go back to the Shidduch system. How do you go back? But if they should be great, they take them to the science. You look at their curriculum, our Tanakh, our German culture, and our Mishnah, and our German literature, you're hooked in. Our Gemara, and our philosophy, and our Torah, and our world history. And the Rav said so beautifully, this curriculum is very successful in turning out religious practitioners. I'm using money, the Rav used the word practitioners. But I think that's what we should convey. They turned out religious Jews, but they were not learned. They were not very good. The Rav said, in using the analogy with the Mishkan, they had the beautiful smell of the Torah, that is the sweet smelling spices. But they did not have the beautiful light of the menorah, which represents the light of Torah. And these were German rabbis. And I can tell you between the lines what I didn't say publicly the other day at the ONU when I spoke about the Chaim, why he was ready to Israel. Besides the reason I told you there, I'll tell you another reason that I heard from the family. Because the Chaim never met Yehoshua Chaim. It was before World War I. World War I, he met them for the first time before. They were new troops, they were chaplains, field chaplains, Rabbi Dr. Kalbach, Rabbi Dr. Leopold Rosenbach, Rabbi Dr. Joseph Kalbach, they met German rabbis. But before World War I, they held an organization and meeting what a precursor, a nation, a good Israel, and Israel doesn't do the functions after World War I, 1919. And the Chaim for the first time, the Rabbi knew, the Shabbat Shushim knew, and they were rabbis and the sickness the dice, the culture, the important, the flunkite, but they lack of shots and vaiskin. Rabbi Shalalek is a Chaim Friska, and he judged the person by the last concept I mentioned. And I heard from this, he never went back again. I don't want to mention the name, but one of his daughters told me once he saw what a German rabbi was like, he ran back. He couldn't handle it. It was beyond the Chaim's concepts of abundance and learning. But this was over time. And we could do smicha. You got teacher, teacher, rabbi, and degree. Only the most chosen were selected to remain for 5 more years, and they got to learn to Rebbeya and got a proper smicha. And that's why in every German Kehillah, who you tell me, are there any German Yankees here? What went on in Germany? You brought in a Dayan from Poland, from Lithuania, from Hungary, right or wrong, Diana will go in, read the memoir literature. Read Schwab, Herman Schwab's history of German Orthodoxy. Read Diana Rufus, Three Generations. You brought in Diana, you could barely speak German. But Paschim comes, they can tell Paschim. Then you had a Paschim, so you broke the feet from German to hear this. So Paschim, be sent for a Shaila. And so you should understand how to answer a question. This was German Orthodox. And the Rav, as much as he was impressed, and it only knew the feeling of negativism, he was impressed. It was an overwhelming achievement. And I have a lot to say what might have happened with German Orthodoxy if not for Hitler and Kristallnacht, Yimach Shmah. There was a whole development there. Yunus Reiner went to Lipsdish, following the Belichty Hafner, Rabbi Leo Kaplan comes in to Lithuania, Netter to Dines at 33. Then Rabbi Yaakov comes in. And the whole thrust, their best food was, what about Rabbi Shalom? Where did he go afterwards? He went to a Mikdash Yeshiva. Well, I had my Rosh Yeshiva. Rabbah used to make a living teaching the German kids who came in to tell us and tutoring them privately. That's how Rabbah support himself. I heard Eich Nemanah. I don't read the Rabbah literature. My Rebbe before the Rav. Rav Shmuel Eliezer Bok says, I heard this from him many times. Rabbah Nachmal Adelson said, he was wealthy. The Germans came in with sub-level knowledge, and he made a living out of tutoring them. Baruch Hashem, he made a good living, he told me. Those are good days for him. So, you see, the Rav respected, but this was not his fault. What I believe is the Rav's fault, what I believe is, he says it openly, not totally incorrect, but there's not a difference. There was not synthesis. Dr. Belton, his age in front of the Rav, he used to speak of synthesis. I have many lectures with him, he's got the focus, writing, as much as he could publish, but he was carrying, running the Yeshiva, this is a tragic movie. But he always spoke of synthesis. The Rebbe in 1956, in that unbelievable talk, which I haven't written that word by word, but I'm not the one to publish it. I'm not just a family. I'll advise someone from the family to publish it. It was an unbelievable talk. And there the Rebbe says, you know what I believe in? Two heads. My students have had two heads with two different heads. He says, some people laugh at us. They say, you have two heads. He says, yes, we have two heads. We better have two heads because I have one. And he was right. He said, I want a student to be a yeshiva student 100%. Like the Russian, like this, like everything that came before. The Rebbe get carried away. He says, my good students would be good even in the Russian. I don't know if the Rebbe's correct. We still haven't produced from one year a refinery to the Jews to the Yeshiva. Yes, no, we have produced about the Rebbe from Shapiro and about Abraham. We haven't produced yet a Rebbe of the Leibovich, a Yitzhak Shmuel. Maybe we'll get there. We're on the track, perhaps. But a Rebbe's allowed to boast about it. And with him, no one boasts more than I do. Believe me. So I forgive the Rebbe. But I don't agree on that point. My Talmidim in Galatia would have been among the top students. All right? Could be. As the yeshiva person, total yeshiva, with the ksais, with the nativas, with the learning, with the amtas. Notice I'm going into in Ashkenazic Hebrew, because that's the way we spoke. With the depth, with the analysis, with the rechayim. Ah, that's one. Which they say, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they go upstairs to the college, in those days it was one room building, and then they are fine to reach the students no different than any other university, and their minds have to be involved in the Western world, in Western culture, and the Rav never saw a contradiction, but he never saw an integration. He viewed it as harmonious coexistence. Tell me, didn't we use the word harmonious coexistence about an hour ago? Now you can understand why the Rav so revered the Chaim Kalman. The Rav used to say time and again, and you can open up the encyclopedic guide, but they made a mistake for him. Why they were consulting him? He worked there, but they never consulted him. Oh, it's a step back. But the article on the Chaim Kalman was written by Solomon. They made a mistake for him. The Rav said, and I quote syllable by syllable, the Welt macht das Tors. The world makes a mistake. Say, Prachim Chavukat Neve Ein Rebbe, I have more than one Rebbe. In other words, if I am in addition to my father, it's not so to upset. I had only one Rebbe, my father. However, Rebbe Chaim Keller was a father figure for the Rebbe. It was a prototype. By the time the Rebbe met Rebbe Chaim Keller, he didn't need a Rebbe. The Rebbe already was a gone idea. He was a Yashin Be'er, who was the son of Reb Moshe. You know what the Tvavram said about him when he gave him smicha and gave him that beautiful letter of recommendation, one of the greatest Talmidim of the Moshe, wrote about the Rav, that he's the equal of Reb Chaim, the equal of Zayda, and it might have been a rabbinic hyperbola, but nevertheless, there's a lot of truth in it. The Rav was greater than this guy. Maybe this is a Chaim, but he's greater than this guy. And this Rav, here he is. He saw me. Everything he saw, I imposed the role. telling the Hebrew being to look through the notion of here that appears in the window in Berlin, that's introduction to Isha Lacham, and cooking now, his introduction, he quotes the Chazal from the second Sota, the image of his father that appeared in the window when he sees all these different concepts and all these different schools and all these different ways of thought and approach. And it could be in a tangible pleasure, it was the Chaim Heller who was that image that reminded him of the Moshe and the Chaim and Yisrael of King. And this is why he evolved in my opinion a viewpoint of Torah with that effect, not Torah in that effect. It's not in that effect. It's separate. First the Torah, and then after the effect. And this is why the love so revered the Chaim. Ashrei Ayin Ra'at HaZot, the people who saw it, happy is the eye that saw it, thousands of people see it, and the family come in with an old man, and they see the picture, they're planning the next issue of Jewish Action, and the Rebbe get off the podium, walk down, go to his Rebbe, throw the type father figure, take his coat, take his hat, hang it up, sit him down, and then go back to give him the shoe. That was other happening. I still remember a Bernard Rebbe graduate student, say this publicly, but I've seen before, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, but I didn't write it. But the, I don't know what curiosity we have in America. We're genius and genius in the Gonsh and the Gonsh. Who needed it? I don't know in America. America destroyed that country. I don't know what that. And the drug raised the money privately. They didn't give a fine check, a fine big charity to a Rebbe. He was embarrassing. He arranged with YU, the time during the summer, would give a number of lectures to turn up to a graduate school. And she would pay the salary in order to get for those lectures. The time during the summer from Yeshiva. It was coming from money. The Rebbe raised specifically to give a fine salary. But from the time we used it, the time gave those lectures, he remembered his sight, the Rebbe was sitting next to him. The time would say a number of words. No one could stir, his mind was going. At the end of 2 minutes, the Rebbe cut him off, and he would then explain the time, 10, 12, 14 minutes of explaining what the time had said, then he turns to the time, and the time got further, and only the elite was sitting there to gather in the precious words, to go where the golden shell, but in this case, a prototype for the Rebbe, Torah in the Rebbe, the Torah with the Rebbe, not Torah in their hands. And that is a conscious decision on the part of the Rebbe. He stated it in 56, he stated it again in 1970. Loud and clear, word by word, it's all recorded in my memory. Now, I want to bring down, I want to give you an example. I want to give you a kind of example. How did the Rebbe, who was he doing? Fine, great Rosh Hashiva like Rabban Kavya, no question about it. Beyond the narrow confines of the Shir, which went so narrow, but beyond the confines of Shas and Poskim, a master of so much knowledge, so much Jewish knowledge, cosmic knowledge. From that companion, Pastor Wood, philosophy, everything that goes back from his Rebbe in Kavya, and my Ritzburg, and all of that of Ritzburg, so much secular, world philosophy, mathematics, physics, all the subjects that interest the thing in the University of Berlin. And how does this help us? There were words that are said in the early 70s that are as timely today as 30 years ago, and the more we move into the Western world, and the more timely, and I'll never forget. And this is so lacking in the Torah, that the so-called modern Orthodox world, though I explain it. I'm an Orthodox Jew in Western countries. I believe that's what my Rebbe was. I don't like the word modern and try to be reform and innovate Torah. That's what they were told by Shem Kalima. However, Torah for Shepherd Seer, the Rebbeshev Seer, the Dodo, the Darshav, we live, we dress a little bit differently. Perhaps we look a little bit differently, but the heart and soul of the same Torah soul as our forebears, all of us that came before us, all of us that come after us, that's what Torah is about. I don't like the word of my Orthodox. I don't like the election now, I don't like the Rebbe yet. That's the Mashiach. So the Rebbe said, so beautiful, that's common sense. That's what they say in the Kibbutz. You live to fly, you have to drive, otherwise you can't worship. That is not halachic sense. That's the end of Yiddishkeit. You apply common sense, you destroy Yiddishkeit. The Rebbe spoke about this whole thrust that women are not equal to men. This is a bloodline against Jews. We are separate, but we have different responsibilities. And the fact that a woman is not obligated in mitzvah is not a put-down. If you know what's behind it, it's to her compliment, it's to her credit, that she doesn't need the mitzvah the man needs to pay. But this is not common sense. We can't equal out a man and a woman when it comes to divine image. A man and a woman are absolutely equal. When we say Shalom Asman Isha, it has nothing to do with superiority. It has to do that a man has more mitzvah than a woman, and he's thanking God. And this is why women say Shasani Kitsono. Did you ever wonder why a woman doesn't say Shasani Isha? It's very simple. Because if a woman would say Shasani Isha, this is my point. I don't want to blame the Rebbe. If a woman would say Shasani Isha, it means I'm happy that I have less mitzvah. Thank you, I'm happy. No, a woman says I would love to have more mitzvah. But Shasani Kitsono, this is your rule, God. That I be limited, I have a different purpose in life, there's a different reason behind it. It's not common sense, and I have to accept the Ritzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Rebbe was so powerful and so insightful, overwhelming, how he used that example of Galileo and Newton to drive home a point which is axiomatic in the understanding of Torah and Orthodoxy. And now that I read the literature of the feminists, like you take Life on the Fringes by Khadija Ben David, it's a magnificent body, but what's lacking is no one ever taught her that a person surrenders to God. You don't judge what God's will is. You can't judge in your mind, well, this I'll accept, and shouldn't I observe? Should I observe hachakah to be God, the fool, and you are judging. That's not Torah. Torah means I leave, and according to Rav now, I leave my marketplace, mercantile, common sense home. Yes, when I have to invest in a stock, and if I know this stock is going to be worth twice as much tomorrow, and our stock is worth 10 times as much, I have to be a ranting idiot to invest in the one that's going to worth twice as much. If I can make 10 times as much, invest. Okay, that's common sense. When it comes to Torah, divine Hashem is halakha, and this involves learning and knowledge and surrender and the diffidence and respect for tradition and the soul. And this is Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Emet the Torah, Toem, as the B'nai Korach have to say. But that's a magnificent example. I'll give one more example and then I'll close down. One more example. I'll never forget this. And here too, I thank you. The Rebbe was giving a talk before the social workers. It has to be with something. If I quote parts of the talk in my work, I'm a Rebbe. And the Rebbe got involved with a dialectical question. This was typical Soloveitchik at its best. Typical, that dialectical tension that comes from the higher and the Rebbe. You know what I, the Rebbe is not only the murder, it's the dialectics of philosophy, the theology. And the Rebbe gets involved. Which is more important, the Yachid or the Tzibur? The individual or the community? Which is more important? What is Judaism value more? And it was an amazing, amazing talk. He got involved in Shabbat. He got involved in Judaism. He got involved with Hanukkah and Purim. Shabbat is the individual. You run away from Sabbath. It was amazing what the Rebbe said in that lecture. He says, And the Sfatemet says, and each one didn't know the other one said it. I have a whole lecture, I show you this exactly the same thought, each one from their own perspective. We don't carry each other, Fatish says. Not carrying is the truth from society. We stress the individual. The Sfatemet says, your home, family, Shabbat is inner origin. The Rebbe developed the same idea. Hanukkah and Purim, the community, is the mission that we brought about. We took the initiative. We took the lead. There is a din of howling. There is a din of Kisumei Musa. And Purim is actually a concept of Zobal Hadrat Melech, that it could very well be. It makes a difference if you lay your kill with 10 people or with 1,000 people. We don't see that anywhere else. There's no other halakha that you should daven in the shul that has more or less of Abu Dhabi. rabbi lives in a shul that has 1,000 people instead of 100. It doesn't exist. Through the shul, the community, the rabbi developed the idea, perhaps lawyers, the media, the combination, both God and man. It's not for them. But in the middle of that lecture, the rabbi raised the issue, how should we view Robinson Crusoe? Now you just think about it. How should we know? What should be our attitude? But Robinson Crusoe was this good or bad? And here, you know, we were kids, we were raised, Robinson Crusoe stranded on an island, the great Robinson Crusoe did everything on his own, needed no one else. Good or bad, according to Judaism. And on that view of Robinson Crusoe, the rub went further, individual and community. And I have to tell you, it was overwhelming. But the kid, you know, Robinson Crusoe, and we are going to share the garden, it takes Robinson Crusoe, stands it up to analysis, puts it into the dialectical tension, all the vicious dancing before your eyes, and never look what happened to that poor Robinson Crusoe. So I want to reiterate this point. Yes, this evening's lecture, I cannot say it's totally true. My book, I stand on every syllable, not minus the right, even if I don't have this lecture, look at my footnotes. Professor Elvin said he never saw a bar from the book difference. Read the footnotes. The footnotes are important. Those of you that are scholars, check out the sources I cite. There's a lot more there than I need to. Tonight's lecture is one humble servant of the rabbi, one humble servant of the students, Aryeh Kepik, trying to interpret the rabbi. I may be right, I may be wrong, but it's an interpretation. I hope I'm right. There were many influences in the rabbi's life. The Feinsteins are of ancient influence, of course, not to minimize. Hessian is out of overinflation, but not really. I would rather say Hessian complements Hessian. If I may tell a story here, that I'm very used to tell it, 1915, Hessian. I want to tell you about one of the greatest moments of my life as a kid. Of course, we didn't talk about the story of that story. I was a high school kid learning with my father, with Ray Weinberg, sitting a few blocks from here. Ray Weinberg's father was the rabbi of Yeshiva Salvation. One mother here was studying Salvation, from the Salvation gang. At least it was in a gang of five, you understand. Baruch Hashem, I treated them better than they do in China. So at least they're happy to see me 35 years later. They embraced me and hugged me. So I must have done something right for 35 years ago. Lori Berkowitz, his son, Dr. Doug Berkowitz, was my student so many years ago. We spent the Shabbat together. So I'm learning the Chavetz with Ray Weinberg, and suddenly one of the Chavetz students that were spent with the students that were high school kids, or really wizards, said, can you please help me? Shabbat, I'm a Chavetz, of course. He says, my mother is going to be associated. Could you walk with her and carry back the Chavetz? And little Ani wrote, from the Bronx, third generation American, whose father, my father, Max Rothfuss, and Ella Ruffa played Slam Lot Baseball with Hank Greenberg about whom I don't say it from that. He changed in midlife, I know what I'm saying. And there I am, walking rather than Tesha for the and with and she says, I think that she should be our father and talk about it. And then she buys, and it's kind of a point, she buys about 10 boxes of maybe. American kids are quizzical. And I say, Reverend, I'm stupid. What's taking us over now? This place, everybody wants something. It's not nice. And she starts to explain to us Chadash. Believe me, I didn't understand one word of what she was saying. But years later, I understood what she was doing. They used to say in the Bar Salvation, she considered the Chumrah. He used to stop at the freezer of it. Hey, Baruch Hashem, in America, you don't have the problems you have back home. And, it's a great, great life here. See, you need to lose commissioner. And I heard it today, every bakery, Yashin, Chadish, whatever they call that. I think they make a mistake. You know, Yashin, not Chadish. They don't take through the winter crop. You know, I don't go into a lot of details. I'm sure most of you understand what I just said. But it's a real story, a good reason, carrying back the moxa. Ray Weinberg, little arm drop from carrying back the lots of the relative pressure solids, twice. Okay, so the Rav comes to the land that we're in, there's a world of influence. You have to know, and I popularized it, but I could spend hours, and I have spent hours in Poland, we have to do that one for years, we have to find Hellenists, how they relate to each other, how the Rav is caught in the middle. Professor Agin Mitzvah, his faculty, Bodhi, others, and through the sign of Ramina, the Rav too is exposed, and you know, I spoke about the Tephilogic Convention, what the Rav symbol, and the Torah that the Cheres are here, we have to go to credit to, he is the one who moved the mountains, and the Rav makes certain decisions. That he dabbles on with Israel, at least in during 2 years, cannot be denied. I thought two, the Rav said four, but once again, that young God come talking to Bar Ilan himself, and it remains at six for the time being. Perhaps if we have to read more of the manuscript, we could find more of the Hitler than actually any of that. The Rav's talk of why you were overwhelming, and I think a harmonious coexistence is the best way to describe the Rav. Torah vindicates. It does not call it evil. Two heads. And the way the Rav described his vision for Yeshiva College for Yeshiva is vastly different than the curriculum that was set upon and delineated by our sensitive focus. The examples I gave, I think, capture the Rav. Mathematics, physics, marriage, the bond, the dynamic coexistence. In a big Western world, none of us want to go back to the ghetto, and we can't go back to the ghetto, even if we want to. And that's an absolute fact. Even in Meir Sharim, he walks two blocks away from there, he's out of the ghetto, and sees pictures and posters like the wall. And this is the speech center. You look into by Yakida, and you're going to have to say over to the Rav, but I found it also in the Malden, the others, the Ashire, the Lakshan, work it out thoroughly. But you see, this is the message of life. Look what happened. They suddenly tell Yaakov Yosef and Sadiq and father. He grabs his two sons and finally rushes, come quickly! Zaydus Zil, Hasaba Kolev. They rush to the father, and the father lets know the impression he tells me your two sons to the board here are going to have an extra portion of my own son. And suddenly father looks up! And he goes, me ain't the horny two kids standing here! What is it?